Hey, welcome to Truth, Lies, Shenanigans podcast, social commentary, hot topics, and amazing guests with a ton of fun and shenanigans along the way. This week's podcast, we're going to get into Chris Rock's Netflix special. Ooh, saying that three times fast. Netflix special. Selective outrage. And we're wondering how Will Smith feels about it. All right, plus we've got the daycare owner who shot her husband for molesting children in her care. Then we'll talk about the ethics of gene editing. And we have to talk about those two Americans killed in Mexico claiming to be there for a tummy tuck. All right, you can watch us live on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitch TV. We will be trolling your comments on YouTube and Facebook at TLS Live Show or TLSShow.com. Well, feel free to join in the conversation. As always, I've got to introduce you to my amazing co-hosts. First up today, we have our nature lover, gamer, rock star, coming to you from Ontario, Canada, Mr. Robbie Rock.
What's up, my friends? It's great to see you. Had a really great week. My wife and I set up our maple sap collectors on the property a little bit ahead of schedule, but I'm in the office next week, so I wanted to make sure that things are ready and that when the temperature rises, we'll be able to start collecting our sap.
Maple sap?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then we just boil it down to syrup.
Mm. Yeah, it's gonna be, you sent me some of that syrup. That was some delicious syrup, by the way. That was really good.
Oh, I couldn't send you the stuff I actually made. I got you.
Oh, you sent me. You sent me
maple syrup. When you come up and
some knockoff stuff.
But this is our second year doing it, so hopefully this batch will be better. And yeah, during my downtime, I've been enjoying some PSVR 2 gaming. Decided to treat myself for my 50th birthday in November. Finally went and did it. And I'm one of those people who gets a touch of sim sickness.
Oh,
and
me too.
So, right? So I have to chew
I get
down.
More than a touch, though.
But I've been reading up on it, and they say to treat it kind of like aviation. So if you're prone to that, you know, chew gum. And
interesting.
Limit yourself to 15, 30 minutes. But man, it's a lot of fun. It is really sharp, it's really crisp, it's responsive, and yeah, there's a couple of titles that I'm definitely going to migrate towards. Not the horror ones, because I have a hard time playing them with a controller away from the TV, so if it's up in my face, I'm going to pee my pants. That's not cool.
My God.
So Rob, I'm curious, what are your symptoms when you get sim sickness?
It's a little bit of dizziness, it's a little bit of nausea. And if you're not careful, if you stay a little bit too long that way, then it can definitely develop into a headache. And what they say is to limit your game time to maybe 15 minutes at a time when you're first learning, so that you can get your VR legs. Because what happens is your eyes are telling you that you're moving, but your inner ear is telling you that you're not. Marrying that information in your brain takes a bit. Yeah. So I know that my wife really is leery to try it out, but my in-laws were over this week and they tried out this silly little game where your hands are bats, and it was great. My mother-in-law for like 10 minutes and she's like a little bit dizzy, and then father-in-law was playing for about 15 minutes and it was just kind of like, okay, well, dinner's on the table. And he's like, it was just having fun.
I gotta tell you, so my symptoms are a little bit different than most people. So I get a really bad headache. So I can really always tell when I'm getting sick, when I have a really bad headache. But instead of wanting to I get the nausea and want to throw up, I have to poop. It's the weirdest thing. It makes me want to poop. I'm so bad. I just
really?
Yeah, it's the craziest feeling. I'm like, why do I feel like I need to poop so bad?
Is it like a nerve?
Is that happens for
no idea. I have no idea. I feel like I'm weird or something. But anyway.
Ginger ale and soda crackers afterwards.
It's something.
Ginger ale and soda crackers.
All right. Next up, our college student, model, business owner, streaming from Atlanta, Georgia, Gianni Storm.
Hey, guys. I've missed you. This week has been pretty hectic because I'm finally moving. I know I'm excited to say that.
You're moving out of your neighborhood?
Yes, I'm finally moving out of this neighborhood. Okay. And I'm moving out of Atlanta. So I'm moving
really?
to a I'm moving to a city called Stone Mountain in Georgia. So it's about 30 minutes from Atlanta. It's north. And I'm going to be in the mountains hiking. No, I'm kidding. But Stone Mountain is just a safer, it's a nicer area. And the apartment I got is nicer. So I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful because you guys already know my experience at this apartment. It's been crazy.
Yeah, you had a rough time. You had a rough time.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. You got to get out of there.
Thank you, guys. Yes.
All right.
I will keep you updated on the move and let you know about that neighborhood. I checked it out. I even went out in the evening to check it out because, you know, you got to see in all of its elements.
Did you go check out the Confederate imagery on Stone Mountain as I'm looking at Stone Mountain in Georgia?
I've heard.
You better watch
I've
out.
There's some.
Better watch out out there.
There's some neighborhoods. But what's interesting is Stone Mountain is actually more foreigners. So like Ethiopians, like Indians,
great food,
Asians,
love Ethiopian.
A lot.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. So I'll be around. I'll be around, kind of my people, technically. Sure.
Hey, your people. All right.
Yeah.
And that other female voice you're hearing in the background, we have a special guest host. She was a Black Excellence Spotlight in February, and we loved her so much. We asked her to come back to guest host with us, clinical psychologist, CEO, founder of the Black Voice Project, Dr. Rochelle Thompson, also known as Dr.
T. I'm so happy. Yes, thank you all for having me back yet again. This is going to be amazing because now I get to be a part of the conversation because last time you all were talking and I'm like in the chats like, yes. So I'm super honored and happy to be here and to be a part of the conversation. But I'm also even happier to be a fan. I've really grown to like the show and I love the work that you all are doing. And so I am a fan and I'm so super excited that I get to be a part of this experience today.
Oh, we love having you. We loved you.
Love
we really loved
energy.
Your energy.
Love
yeah.
That energy.
When you came on the last time, we just liked your energy, your personality. So we were excited to bring you back.
Love it.
All right. All right. We're going to have some fun with you too later. So it'll be good. All right. I am Neo Nix. So last week I mentioned my new fun project that I've been working on. It's like I've been using AI to create, you know, unique art pieces. You know, you can check out some of them on Instagram. It's at Black by AI. So it's basically creating black themed digital art. So like here's some of the stuff.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah,
the stuff you've generated is pretty good.
You had examples.
Wow.
Yeah, I gotta admit, when I was working with it, I was kind of impressed with some of the stuff that I was creating. So I've actually put it, if you go on Instagram on your app, I've actually put it to music. So like, you know, I have this one called Watched, and the music is Somebody's Watching Me, you know, by Rockwell. Somebody's watching me. I can't sing, so don't expect me to sing very too.
You can harmonize.
Wow.
So yeah,
I would so buy one of these and frame it. Like,
speaking of that, the cool thing about it is I'm actually looking at, I'm all set up now to sell them as NFTs. So I haven't sold anything yet, but I'm trying to figure out the process and all that good stuff. But I'm excited to see what happens. So I'll keep you guys informed of like what happens and updates on the progress on that. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some of them I'm going to frame myself because they turned out fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I would want to print one of them, especially the one with the woman and the figure by the moon. That one's really cute. I actually want that.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated and let you know how to get it, get a hold of it. Now, we got to get into the show, but before we do, we have a rite of passage for every new guest host. It's a series of questions designed to help you, our audience, get to know the host. A little game we call the hot seat.
Woo!
All right.
I missed that little groove.
Dr. T, are you ready for the hot seat?
I am going to be as ready as I can be, okay?
Let's go. Quick fire, just the first thing that comes to your mind. All right. R&B, hip hop, alternative, pop music, or country?
R&B, and I got to shout out my man, Tank. I love him. So yes, that is the R&B king.
Okay. R&B king even.
Yes, yes. And I blame his sabbatical. The reason that when he stopped, the world just went crazy and we stopped falling in love. So shout out to Tank. Tank, if you see this, it's your fault that people hated each other. Okay. So yeah.
We're going to tag Tank in there.
Put it on. Please do.
All right. Pizza, a burger and French fries, or pecan encrusted chicken breast with a side of truffle roasted potatoes and asparagus.
Wait a minute.
Like three times. Like, whoa. Listen, I'm going to go with a good old fashioned New York slice of pizza. Give that to me.
She's a pizza girl. She's a pizza girl. That's a good answer right there. All right. Lifetime movies, Harry Potter movies, Fast and the Furious movies, or Star Wars movies.
Ooh, I'm going to go with Lifetime movies. Love to see people whose lives are worse than mine. It's like, whoa, love it. Your life is not going well. You married down. So, you're like my wife.
All right.
I love that too. That's awesome. Love a good Lifetime movie.
All right.
You do.
Yes.
All right. A party with friends, the club with your girlfriends, a concert with someone you love, or chill at home with a pint of Ben and Jerry's.
Chill at home with a pint of ice cream. Give me those 20 extra pounds.
I'm with you. That's a good answer, too.
It's worth it.
All right. Bungee jumping, skydiving, zip lining, riding ATVs, or you have lost your damn mind.
You have lost your damn mind. But I will watch. And record.
Okay.
And upload.
Sit down.
I'm with you. All right. Last question. Then you're off the hot seat. The one thing you love most about yourself.
Ooh.
I am beautifully made. Okay. I am just my soul. This radiates. I feel like I've been on this earth before. And that's what I love about myself.
I love that too.
Yes.
You're off the hot seat.
Thank you. Woo. It was getting hot.
That was awesome, good though. Job. You did a great job. Great job. Great. I feel like I know you a little better. So, yeah. Hopefully.
Great. I lost you at Tank. But then you lost me at Tank.
So. I don't know. You might have kept Gianni around. You might have lost me, though. Tank's a decent singer. Tank's a decent singer. I'm not going to lie. Tank put some good music out. There were some good songs.
He did. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some of these hot topics.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right, Gianni, you want to talk about that Chris Rock Netflix special? What's up?
Yes. So if you've been on Netflix recently, you may have seen Chris Rock's new stand-up special called Selective Outrage. Well, towards the end of his show, we finally got to hear his take on the 2022 Oscars incident, when Will Smith got on stage and slapped Chris Rock over his joke. So Chris based his show on Will's selective outrage. I put that in quotation. The entanglement with Jada Pinkett. Entanglement that Jada Pinkett had a few years ago when she was cheating on Will Smith with singer August Alsina. Apparently sources say that Will is embarrassed and hurt by the jokes that Chris Rock said in his show. And he's upset actually at Netflix too for giving him the platform to like have this message. And he thinks it's distasteful. So my question to you guys, do you think Chris's Netflix special was for media attention? Or do you believe that he was just genuinely trying to share his opinion? And also, do you think Will Smith has selective outrage? Interesting.
I want to start with Robbie.
I don't believe that his special is for media attention. And despite the fact that he addressed the altercation, it's not the crux of the performance. Chris had a lot of inspiration from which to draw upon since his last special. And when it comes to selective outrage, I think that we all have it. So I'm not going to single anybody out for it. Seriously. But overall, the performance, some of it was on point, some of it was brilliant, some of it was crazy, but some of it was cringy. But overall, it was a good performance. I appreciated his take on victim culture he called up those who play the victim card and hard. And it's true, because we're all victims, then the true victims really fall off the radar. You know, if you want to know who Ukrainians are currently victims of Putin's ambition.
So you don't
sexual assault victims are victims.
You don't think Will Smith is a victim?
Historically, no. I'm talking about Megan here, man. Like marrying into a racist society and expecting it to change is naive. Megan is a victim of her own expectations in this instance. Is she a victim of bullying? Sure.
So you agree with Chris Rock on Megan, huh?
Oh yeah. Hell yes I do.
Oh no.
Hell yes I do. Come on, man. What are you thinking? We all know people who've had it rough with their in-laws for all kinds of reasons. It's not a new script. And his swipe back at Will and his family is brilliant. I think that, you know, despite being physically assaulted by Will Smith, Chris denies that he was a victim. And I think that that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. The way that he brags about his daughters, I think that's really another rip on the Smith's family. So touche, man. Touche. At the end of the day, it stems from a bald joke that didn't land properly. If we can't tell bald jokes about women, I don't want to hear another bald joke or have anyone rubber kiss my head for luck. We can't have it.
But okay, wait a minute. Now you bring up something. Wait. It wasn't just that's a bald joke. I mean, she does suffer from a condition. I'm just saying he may not have been aware. He claims he wasn't aware, but. I'm just saying, but yeah, I got some bald jokes too. I mean,
condition, Neil? What condition?
Right, that's true. We do have our own condition. That's true. We have our own condition. Male pattern baldness.
It's which is a form of alopecia.
Male pattern. So that's true.
But it's apples.
That's a true point.
Apples to apples.
It is alopecia. That's a very true statement. Very true. Real quick, Lizzie's online today. Lizzie says, isn't all outrage selective? And then Jose says, no, I love rubbing your head for luck, Robbie.
You know, I will have to get my comedian card taken away from me. I am not a fan of Chris Rock. You know, I think, you know, he picked the right time and I'm sure it was a right dollar amount for him to throw in some stuff to talk about this. But for me, I think it was just a little too late. I think I'd like to hear some of this stuff and I could have probably been more engaged with it, you know, like around the time of things happening. Okay. And so for me, I take a different perspective as a psychologist when we start to see people talk about trauma and things of that nature. And I am proud of him for saying that he wasn't a victim. But in my, you know, perspective, you know, like I would have liked to hear a little bit more emotion, I guess, about how he really felt about the whole circumstance and like what his process was. But that's just me, you know, in my psychology realm. I'm like, well, how did you get to that place? Because that's a pretty embarrassing thing to like make a joke and then get smacked like that. And so during the time that happened too, by the way, like while I was like, ooh, I kind of understand.
Oh, so you were good with it.
I mean, you know, like if I, you know, my husband, I'd want him to smack somebody too. So with that being said, I think it was not the right place, but you know, I think there were some underlying things, selective outrage. Maybe that was really for August Alsina. I think that slap was really for him, not for Chris Paul. But August, I digress, you know.
So we got to let everybody know who August Alsina is. So some of the listeners may not know.
He's super cute.
He's
cute.
You think
cute.
He's cute?
Yes, I think he's very
cute.
I do. I've always had a crush on August. And he's a singer, and apparently he is also Will Smith's son's friend.
Right.
Like, I was going to say, he's one of the person, buddies.
This is the person that Jada had the entanglement with.
So, yeah,
entanglement.
Chris went hard on that
with her son's friend.
I mean, I gotta say, Chris went really hard on that.
He did.
So, I mean, I'm gonna just say personally, I didn't think it was that funny until the end, actually. So when he started getting into all that stuff, I mean, he got some chuckles out of me, you know, but he didn't really have me laughing until the end. I thought it was a little intense. So I've liked some of Chris Rock's work. Chris Rock is not my favorite.
I mean, no, not at all.
But I didn't like his nonstop use of the N-word. I mean, to be honest with you, I get he was doing his nightclub set and he was trying to be raw. But, and, you know, it wasn't that TV comedy show. But I still think he way overused the word. I mean, Chappelle uses it all the time, but he uses it intentionally. He's very intentional about the way he does it. He uses it so that it makes sense. It hits the joke right. But he was just using it just to use this N-word, this N-word, I was like, come on. I didn't really like it. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I just really didn't like it until he got to the end when he was really going in on Will Smith and Jada. But he was angry as hell. You could tell. I mean, it's been a year. Yeah. But the feelings were intense.
They were tense.
I mean, you could tell his adrenaline level was up. He was, I know you as a psychologist know how it is when you get mad, all that adrenaline starts pumping and you do stupid stuff. I mean, his adrenaline, he was angry.
He was hyped.
He was doing a lot of that stuff. It's just like when you're jacked, when you're amped, it's just, okay, I'm going to start making these little noises.
But Gianna, you ain't say what you thought.
I mean, I do think he had selective outrage, but I also kind of feel like he felt pressure to do something because of Jada's reaction to what Chris Rock said. So I think it's selective outrage, but it's also the pressure that maybe other people had on him, like eyes on him. These are celebrities we're talking about. Like, they're not just anybody. They're people that everybody is watching, and it's almost kind of like you have to have a mask, like some type of facade in a way. So I also feel like Chris Rock, this is a double whammy in a sense, where it's like a cash grab, it's media attention, and it's also, okay, here's my side. You guys finally get to hear it. Like, it's finally out there for you. Because he knows that people have been kind of wanting to hear his side, and time is ticking. It's getting old. So, yeah, I think it's both.
I have a question. So there's this person online. We're running out of time, but there's someone online who said to me on my page that she thinks Chris Rock is obsessed with Jada. Now, in our conversation, she was saying that years ago, Chris Rock was trolling them on social media with some weird comments. And then Rock mentioned that the beef started because they boycotted the Oscars because of lack of diversity when Will Smith didn't get the nomination for Concussion and all that stuff. So Rock said all that in his bit. But do you guys get the impression that, you know, he's obsessed with Jada in some way? Some people also pointed out that Chris intentionally chose Baltimore for his special because it's Jada's hometown.
I mean, if there's a lot of like coincidences that are not so coincidental, like I think so. Because why did you target Jada like at the award show? I mean, technically he could have targeted anybody in the front row or anybody.
He was targeting a few people. He wasn't just talking about Jada.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just feel like you're subjected to see anything in Hollyweird, okay? Yeah. And so they do this type of behavior. It's super weird. And then maybe like the next year we'll see them all hanging out together or hearing some stories about them doing inappropriate things with one another. Allegedly, that I feel like that's what comes out of Hollyweird. Yeah. I feel like so many things come out of Hollyweird. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Nothing surprises me out of Hollyweird either. So
No.
All right. So Lizzie, our own Lizzie, has been lighting up our feed here. So he says, how many times did he call Jada a bitch in the special? He has been calling Jada a bitch since 1997. Why is Chris so obsessed with their entanglements? What about his own? Had paternity tests and everything, but he chooses to focus on the Smiths. Probably mad because their marriage survived
abortions in his life. He doesn't shy away from his promiscuity.
No, matter of fact, he talked about it quite a bit. It's special.
Quite openly. And that was the cringy part for me.
Quite openly.
That was the cringy part for you. Okay.
Some of the language selection. Absolutely. That was one of the cringy parts, right? Some of the language selection.
That was a little awkward.
He was a little intense.
He called Will a bitch an awful lot of times. I didn't really.
Well, that was intentional. I thought it was great. I thought the way he did it was great.
he
called him a bitch without calling him a bitch, though, because he said other people referred to him as a bitch.
That's right.
So
he did call him a bitch. He said it was a bitch move.
He didn't literally call him a bitch. All right. So Jacqueline Robbins says, I'm going to need the Smiths to stop putting their marriage out there for public consumption. It's one thing to know they have an open marriage, it's another to openly humiliate one's partner in a very public and messy way.
Why do we know?
I think Chris Rock handled that appropriately. All right. Is this truth? lies or shenanigans.
You know what?
It's a comedy special.
Shenanigans.
Absolutely. Shenanigans. Like I say, it wasn't my favorite, but he really
wasn't
did.
Wasn't my favorite stand-up show. No. But I'm more of a Cat Williams comedian.
Cat Williams?
Yeah.
Cat Williams is funny, but he's
he's kind of crazy, but he's not everybody's taste, but
I like Chappelle just because he's cerebral. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets like deep.
That. Yes.
That's my
favorite. Yeah.
He's too politicky, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, no, but that's what I like. That's my thing.
Yeah.
All right.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Right.
Let's get to this next topic. We run out of time.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right. So this past week, we saw a video of four Americans being kidnapped in Mexico. They were allegedly going into Mexico for one of them to have a tummy tuck procedure performed in Mexico. The alleged patient, her name was Latavia Washington McGee, and her friend Eric Williams, they survived the kidnapping, while two others, Shahid Woodard and Zendale Brown, were killed. So far, six people have been arrested. Most of them were apparently turned over by the leaders of the cartel that was responsible, and they were carrying a letter of apology. Now, let me read this letter. So it says, quote, "The Gulf Cartel Scorpion Group strongly condemns the events of last Friday. For this reason, we decided to hand over those directly involved and responsible for the act, who at all times acted under their own determination and in discipline, and against the rules to which the Gulf Cartel always operates."
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I know, right? It sounds pretty arrogant. It sounds like they're saying, you know, "We're sorry that our hired killers killed some of your people. They fucked up. Please don't hold us responsible. And please don't stop allowing us to illegally sell drugs to your country and killing other people. You know, please let us keep doing that. You know, just sorry we killed these two."
Yeah, anyway, that's exactly what it sounds
so like. Far, America really hasn't done much to address the killings. So let me ask you this. Do you think the Gulf Cartel should be held accountable, like maybe having the CIA, DEA, or something go in and shut them down, like they've done in many other countries, for far less? And do you think more would have already been done if it had been a young group of white Americans kidnapped and killed? I'm going to start with Gianni. What do you think?
To answer the latter question, I do think that it would have been a different reaction from the government, from the U.S. government, towards this scenario. I think there would have been more action. We probably would have heard more about it. I mean, this is very well like covered. I'm just saying it would have been blown up. But also, I think I'm biased, guys. I think there's more to the story. It's just weird. I mean, a lot of people say that it's weird the reason they're going to that part of town. I mean, it's just
for a tummy tuck.
Why are you going there for a tummy tuck? And then also with the whole thing about they do have criminal charges, I want to bring that in. That's not immediately what strikes me, but it's just the setup of three guys, one girl.
Well, you're talking about the fact that the four people involved supposedly had actually have previous drug convictions.
Yes.
And so you're saying that possibly they were doing some type of drug deal.
Drug deal. Yeah, that's I haven't completely ruled that out in my personal opinion.
The New York Post, I think, reported that. And I don't know, it's always when you have black victims, the first thing you do is you demonize them, you incriminate them in some way. I'm a little iffy on that.
Yeah.
And I want to point out as rumors.
It
was rumored that they may have had a drug deal or something like that. So it's not 100%. Just because they had drug convictions, a couple of them had drug convictions in the past, doesn't mean that they all went down there to do drugs. It's possible.
There's just missing links. And I just feel like there's undoubtedly a bigger issue when it comes to like the violence from the cartel, how they even have guns. Because I don't think guns are made in Mexico. I'm not sure. But
they make guns everywhere.
I wonder if they have a neighbor up north where they can easily acquire firearms.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder, Johnny. I wonder if firearms are funneled south of the border illegally for money. I wonder.
Yeah.
How are they getting guns?
The U.S. The U.S. isn't making guns like that. What are you talking about? They don't make guns. I mean, shoot, guns are made everywhere. Come on. Guns are made literally everywhere.
Guns from 3D printers these days.
They're probably using Mexican labor to to make guns for Americans.
God, that's horrible.
Oh my just God. Say it.
Shit. Selective outrage. Selective outrage.
Yeah. Whenever we get to a place where a drug cartel writes an apology letter,
right?
This is clearly to me some cahoots, you know, with somebody. I highly doubt. And we've seen the federal government, and I won't go into my beliefs on that. We've seen the federal government support drug cartels before.
Yep.
And so to me, it's really unfortunate that these four individuals lost their lives, period. Okay. For whatever reason, I think we have a bigger issue.
Two individuals lost their lives. Four were kidnapped.
I'm sorry.
Two lost their lives. Yep.
Two, and then being kidnapped in general is just like a really traumatic experience. And so we're constantly seeing Americans in general now. It's becoming more of a theme where we are going out of the country and we're not making it back home. So I've seen a lot of stories where we're seeing African Americans or people of color especially end up going out of town and not coming back home. So that is really unfortunate.
I think there's three Texans that are missing that went to Mexico. I just read a report.
Something happened.
Wow.
Okay.
And I like to see more action done on the government's behalf on Americans in general. So not, you don't have to be red, black, white, purple, blue, but I like to know that if I'm an American citizen and something like this happens, that the government is going to advocate on my behalf and is going to make sure that whoever did something to me is upheld to the highest like standard of whatever it is that they can do. I do think if it were four white faces, I mean, from what we know, you know, no offense to anybody, but from what we know and what we've seen, that we probably would have heard something from our president by now about this. And so that's unfortunate. But I'm just stuck on, I'm trying to like visually see the drug cartel leader like sitting down writing a letter. Saying, like, okay, like who came up? Like, do they have a marketing person? Do they have PR?
He's got a PR guy for that. He's got a PR guy.
Like, so what do we need to do? Like, I'm trying to understand. I'm there in that space. So was he like, okay, PR person, like, okay, we need to really figure this out. Get me a letter. Let's go ahead and send it with these three guys. Okay. And so I just want to walk through that. I wish I could be a fly on the wall with that conversation because that just doesn't seem like cartel stuff to do. Like, I feel like you should just kill the three people that did whatever they did. That's cartel behavior. So this new drug cartel, this is 2023 drug cartel. This is not the ones that I grew up on. The ones I grew up on don't write apology letters, but I appreciate it. So I digress. That's my thoughts.
It's so weird. It is true. Like, how did
never would have met a letter, not even like a Twitter or something, just a letter.
You can track a Twitter account, man. You can geolocate a Twitter account. But you can't geolocate a letter. Come on, man.
And who was it sent to? Like, dear Mr. DEA and CIA. Like, I'd really need to authenticate that letter. And who signed it? What was the signature? From Mr. Leader Gulf Cartel? Hell, and I don't want nobody from the Gulf Cartel coming after me. I'm just saying, I respect what you did. You wrote a letter,
right?
So.
No, but really, I mean, in this
came
instance,
with pictures.
The culprits were turned in. The DEA is already actively involved in the war against the cartels. It's not the first time that a North American tourist gets killed in Mexico. We see it in the Canadian news all the time. And guess what? It's
all the more reason they need to be doing something about it.
Why if they stay on the resort or off the resort? This happens. So know where you're going. When you are traveling, it's incumbent upon you to keep yourself safe. I was telling Johnny earlier, if I were to visit Atlanta, one of the first things I would ask are, where are the problem areas? Not so I can go hang out there, so that I can avoid them. So if someone with a criminal history happens to be caught in an altercation, in an entanglement in a foreign nation because they're in a high crime area, it adds up. From the outside looking in, you kind of go, okay. And I think that the apology is more than enough because
you're good with the apology.
Here, let me call you on that. But who are you to say that the apology isn't good enough? When was the last time that an organized criminal group, when was the last time that an organized American criminal group accidentally harmed or killed someone and issued a public apology?
Sorry, they wouldn't do it because it's stupid.
The Crips leave a letter saying, "Hey, sorry, we peppered the wrong house with bullets. All bad." So, hats off to the Mexicans.
Yeah, they would it.
Classy and above board.
Super Rob.
That's true, Rob. That's true. Oh, well. It's certainly a different way.
Ass on the resort. Keep your ass on the resort.
I'm not even going to comment because my comments pretty much mirror you guys. I agree with Dr. T on this. All right. So it's just.
I'm in tears. I'm in tears.
I don't know if it's truth, lies, or shenanigans.
It's probably all three. That's a good point because it's like.
I was going to say, I feel like it's all three.
There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I don't know if it's true, if it's lie. I mean, the shenanigans behind. The cartel. I mean, it's just craziness. Let me get to these comments.
We draw the line at cartel leaners writing letters. We draw the line. That's where I do drugs, kill people, but I draw the line at you writing letters.
I'm with you.
Of apology.
All right, let's get to these comments.
Like the letters.
Lizzie says, "Keep your ass on the resort."
Yeah.
Jack and Robinson, there's a language barrier, bad phone service, and other issues. The procedures are indeed cheaper. There's a reason some American doctors will not perform certain procedures. A smaller tummy, bigger butt, and other enhancements aren't worth dying for. Jose says, "I feel as though you are taking a major risk going to Mexico, on and off resort violence for years now. This is wild. The cartel apologize."
Yeah.
Jacqueline Robinson also says, "Ladies, take care when you... and getting these procedures in foreign countries, so much can go wrong, from untreated infections to violence. The State Department has cautioned Americans from traveling to that region since October."
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely a bad idea. You know, send all your tummy tucks to Canada.
Yeah, well, I blame this on the United States healthcare system, so.
100%. Yeah. United States healthcare system is trash. All right, let's get to the next topic.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right, Dr. T, you are up.
All right.
One lady is in jail because she shot her husband.
Yes, y'all have made this so interesting. I'm sorry, I still have tears in my eyes, Robbie, from you. So I apologize. I hope I can get through my stuff. So last year, July 21st, Shantiri Weems shot her husband, James Weems. Shantiri was an owner of a daycare center out of Owings Mills. And so she ended up getting allegations made by three children that went to this daycare stating that her husband sexually abused or molested those children. And so she snapped, shot her husband. He has not faced charges or like the court system as of yet, but she has got sentenced, and she was sentenced to, I believe, 4 years. Oh, yeah. And so there was this overwhelming support for her on the internet stating that we need to protect her at all costs. We need to put money on her bail and bond because she did the right thing. Do you all agree with that? I mean, we're back with this vigilante justice behavior. And, you know, before I give my thoughts as the therapist part of me, you know, I'd like to hear from you all. What do you think? Should we support? Is this normal? Is this okay? Like, do we want to take justice in our own hands?
Well, let me start it off. So as much as I would have probably done the exact same thing.
Right.
I do think she deserves some jail time, you know, but given the crime, you know, the fact that he survived, and her state of mind, I think the 2 years in the original plea deal was probably reasonable. I'm actually, me personally, I think I'm a little more upset with the judge, Michael O'Keefe.
Oh,
so, yeah. Yeah, because Shantiri accepted a plea deal with the prosecutors for 2 years, which means, you know, you forego the option of a jury trial, right? Because you agreed to 2 years. And honestly, there's a good chance the jury would have been okay with supporting her and would have let her off. So she might have got no time. But then the judge decides to throw out her plea deal and give her twice the time. So that's bullshit to me. I'm not cool with that. You know, it's more examples of the American justice system failing. So I'm pissed about that personally.
Yes.
But, you know, yeah, did she deserve some jail time? Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was vigilante justice.
It's aggravated assault with an unlicensed weapon. So again, too many guns in America. You have a gun culture problem. Did she have every right to be outraged? Absolutely. Should she despise this man? Should she take justice into her own
hands? Could she have snapped? Yes.
She could, absolutely. And I mean, I can appreciate why she snapped, because she was betrayed at the highest level when the people that are in your care, when it's your mission to protect these people, and your partner violates that, violates your trust and violates those children. That's unfathomable.
I can't imagine being in the Mandarin Hotel in that room and him probably admitting to it and just the feelings that probably went through her mind at that moment. I can't say that I wouldn't have done it too.
But if she could have gone to the hotel to have this conversation without a gun. She could have.
I'm sorry. I probably would have done the same thing.
He's an ex-cop who's going to jail for touching little kids. He's not going to fare well in the system. So if this would have happened after,
after
the fact, if it would have been a trial and he would have gotten off on a technicality, and then she goes back and shoots him, then I kind of go,
Thinking logically like that, Rob. Nobody's thinking logically like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to go to jail for so many years. He might even get off. I mean, there's a possibility he could get off and all. Nobody's thinking.
But I'm with you, Neo. Like the 4 years from the judge was excessive when they were just, the original plea was for two. That's like, come on.
It'd be different if she had pled to four and then been like, okay.
Yeah, she's not a danger to anyone else. Are you the POS that she's married to that's diddling kids? Okay, yes, then you're in trouble. Not, then okay, you're cool.
I mean, Dr. T, I have also noticed that spike of like, what you said, vigilante justice and people taking crime into their own hands. I understand it because we have like a culture of people that already don't trust the legal system. They don't trust the government. They don't trust cops. And then also an increase of violence. So it's like the Robin Hood story. Like that's going to happen. I agree that I don't think that it helps. Like, it's not like, oh, this is a better alternative and this is going to change things and we all need to do this. But I understand it deeply because in this scenario, it's hard to not feel empathetic for her. It's almost like she could have felt like a mother to those children in a sense, because she even said that when the mother came to her, she grew. Yeah, it was like she was a baby, that she came in as a baby and then she's now like a young kid. And to know that her husband she trusted did something like this, I feel like this is a crime of passion. I feel like this was right and she doesn't deserve any jail time, in my opinion. But I'm clearly not the judge, obviously. And I do think that the judge was wrong, but this sounds like a crime of passion because technically he cheated on her, which sounds gross because these are children, but he cheated on her. He betrayed her. And like Rob said, to the worst, to the highest degree, he betrayed her.
That's a good point. I mean, you make a good point about the cheating because it's like triple fold, right? It's like cheated, betrayed the trust, didn't, because she trusted him around the kids to protect the kids, as she said,
right,
and to protect her. So she has her business. So he destroyed her business. He destroyed her.
Yes.
I mean, he destroyed everything. Wow. He destroyed the kids' lives, everything.
Yes.
I mean, he's horrible. A pariah. The worst of the worst right there.
100.
Me.
And then she gets jail time on top of it. Like, she's having the worst stroke of luck, which makes me feel like maybe she knew low-key the whole time. So this is kind of like the whiplash of that. She probably... I don't know. Women, we have good intuition. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Some do.
Maybe she thought her husband was cheating. She just didn't know who he was cheating with. Right. You know, maybe.
Right.
You know, I was just struggling with this one. You know, a part of me wanted to send her $20 on her books, but then like another part of me is like, you know, next time let's just throw some hot grits on them or something. Let's like, you know, throw some water or baby oil on them and spank them with a belt or something, you know, something more cruel. But, you know, I came up with more creative ways to not spend so much time in jail if it were me. I just think the COVID, you know, after the COVID, we have an issue. I think, Robbie, like you mentioned, number one, we have to be able to emotionally regulate. So you don't know how to emotionally regulate You just make impulsive decisions, and it, in result, you can lose so much. And so it's really unfortunate. I hope that, you know, everything comes out with him in a trial where he gets, you know, time, and
well, he better get some time.
You know, he gets punished as well. Like, I really hope that, because what we see when we have offenders like this is most times they don't want to testify in these cases. And so they'll just kind of go silent. So I hope that that doesn't happen here. But as far as I said, you know, I was thinking about sending her $20. So I was going to put a little like GoFundMe page together for old girl. I can understand. I can understand. Not right. Agree, but I can understand.
I love that, Dr. T.
Right.
Well, there's some good comments online. Lizzie says, yes, Gianni, she picked him. And I bet you this was not the first time. Just awful all around.
Miss Lizzie is on fire, okay? Miss Lizzie does not play any games with us.
Lizzie don't play around.
Doesn't.
And the question is, why was he alone with the kids at all? Did he work there as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jacqueline Robinson.
Yes, he did.
All right, Jacqueline Robinson says, it's wrong, but I understand. Old girl should have been given a medal and a national parade. As Aretha Franklin right. sang, ain't no
medal.
Way. Yeah.
Ain't I don't know. No way.
You know, all I'm saying is, put myself in the same shoes. I could see myself doing the same thing and expecting to go to jail. So that's just, I mean. But I would expect to go to jail, but I would probably do the exact same.
And we'd have a cartel leader write a letter on your behalf apologizing.
It's true. Lies and shenanigans. I don't know what to call this. I'm going with truth.
Not truth.
I mean, she did the right thing. It's pretty sad, though.
I hope she gets the time reduced during the sentence.
Yeah,
I think they're appealing.
I read that they're appealing, so hopefully she does.
And she has a lot of supporters, so hopefully that they can lean on the local government too.
Public support.
Yeah. The thing, the prosecutors supported it. So I mean, this judge is just being an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. What a bone do you have to pick?
Yeah. All right, Robbie, you're up next.
All right.
So you got more sci-fi movies becoming real life. Tell us what's up.
All right. So, a little bit of preamble. Victoria Gray, a Mississippi woman, received an experimental treatment for her sickle cell disease that used the CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technique, which allowed doctors to make very precise changes to her DNA. So, after several painful months, she's fully recovered and fully active. Now, the same gene editing technique was used by Dr. He Jong-kyun. Sorry for mispronouncing that. To grow two girls from embryos, which he said would make them resistant to HIV. Now, his work was widely condemned by the scientific community and described the experiment as medically unnecessary and ethically irresponsible. And he got 3 years in jail for his experiments. So my question to you is gene editing's potential ability to fix people at the genetic level, a threat to those who are judged by society to be biologically inferior? Or is it humanity's path to eliminating diseases at a genetic level?
Ooh, y'all was using these SAT words too in here. I love it. I am Robbie, here for it. Okay.
That's Robbie.
Listen, so if I have to decode that, do I think it's necessary? I do. I mean, I don't think he should have gotten the time. I mean, I think when we have the opportunity or chance. I mean, again, I have to blame this on the healthcare system too, because they want to see us sick so that way we can, you know, pay these ridiculous amounts for prescriptions to treat, not necessarily cure. So I feel like if there is an opportunity available and people are compliant or agree, right, waving, saying, I'm cool with that, then I think we should explore it. I mean, it's no different than to me, when with the COVID testing, where they use the abortion fetal cells for the COVID shot, you know. So, right. I mean, I feel like medicine is leading into that direction. And I don't think that we should condemn for that. So I'm a little annoyed that he got that time. Maybe I'll have to start a GoFundMe.
I'm biased, though. I think on one hand, I'm all here for like eradicating, I'm upping my words. I'm using big words.
Yes. I'd
be like Robbie.
I'm trying. But in genetic disease, if we can stop genetic diseases in babies and future generations, like, that's so cool. I'm all the way here for that. But I'm always trying to understand, how are we doing that? Like, I'm always one to question, what are we doing? Like, how are you guys doing that? Are you using ethical means to do that? Or are we going down the weird path? And it's more of like that, because science can get weird. And it.
But what would be unethical to you?
The whole using baby stem cells, abortion, fetal, like, that don't sit right with my spirit. Like, that doesn't.
Really?
It doesn't. I mean, I understand, like, it's recycling and it's probably somehow, I mean, it's useful, obviously, but it's almost like, we're okay with murder. I don't know. It just gets weird. It gets deep for me. I mean, we can talk about it.
So first of all, you consider abortion murder, and then you're saying that you're potentially murdering children to have stem cells,
which is different than genetic editing.
It is a different thing.
A very different topic altogether that we could have.
Yeah, you're right. It is different. It's a different thing. But in what way are we editing those genes? Like, in what way are we splicing the DNA? And what are we adding into it? You know what I mean? And then also the talk of mutations. So we all have questions, obviously, but I think that the effort and the goal is beautiful. Like, I'm all the way here for it. Like, peace and love, of course. I'm happy for that. But I'm just
personally,
this is the process.
Personally, I'm down for gene editing, because, you know, I've made it very clear I'm trying to live forever.
Yeah, you said that.
If you add another
year, you want to
gene edit. You can gene edit me all you want to give me another 50 years. Add, you give
you
me
can
some.
Chip what, in.
Give me some. I'm all for the stem cells too. Give me whatever you got.
All right. But, you know, sickle cell anemia is not curable. You know, it's so not. This is like, and it is a very painful thing to go through.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
But
where we do need to be careful ethically is, you know, because we talked about this movie Gattaca, right? And so Gattaca, basically, you start gene editing people and you have higher level human beings. And then you got to figure out what's beautiful. What's the right? Is it right to be tall? Is it right to be short?
Who sets that norm?
Right. Who sets what the norm is? Is it right to have blue eyes? So the people who have blue eyes are gene edited. Is it, you know, are you editing women and men? You know, what are you creating? And so it's just like really crazy as to like what is the right thing to be, you know. And then you start editing these people, and then they become the elite people, everybody who has blonde hair, blue eyes, or whatever. Or maybe it's the people who have black hair, dark skin, those are the elite people, whatever it is. You know, you start editing people to be what society is deemed as correct. Then,
and that's the slippery slope, because if we are able to determine which genetic traits are favorable and which ones to phase out, there's going to be a long-term impact our population. We're going to lose certain segments of our population. Groups of our population that are important in teaching us about, well, medical discovery, teaching us about empathy, what it is to actually be a caring human being. You know, would we lose part of our sense of compassion over time? Would the normals be phased out, like you said also, Neo?
Right.
What you said, Johnny, was interesting too, because there is a fear that if a mistake is made, we can introduce a new genetic mutation into the human gene pool, which would then be passed down from generation to generation. So,
but then that mutation, you got to consider that mutation could eventually be the reason that, you know, you don't survive COVID. You know,
and that's it. If it's a genetic mutation that you haven't planned for, because the DNA has been spliced incorrectly,
Because it's unnatural. So if you have a natural virus that attacks you, and you know you have this mutation that makes you vulnerable to that particular virus, then you're dead, right? Because I remember a Star Trek episode, Star Trek: The Next Generation. I know we're getting sci-fi, but where people, they did so much gene editing and growing people in test tubes and stuff that they were no longer viably able to produce children. And so their society, they had no children in their society because, they couldn't actually make children anymore. So, I mean, it's dangerous, but right now, give me all the gene editing. I give you all the genes you want, edit them, put them back in, whatever you got to do. Just give me another 50, 60 years.
There's people that are here now that are over 115 years old. They're probably in like Beijing
and
somewhere in the mountains.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All
just right. need to
They're
eat well.
They're everywhere, Johnny. They're everywhere.
All right, real quick. So we're way out of time. Oh, wow. Okay. So Jacqueline Robinson, I have no issues with stem cell research being used to cure chronic diseases. And Lizzie says, I wish gene editing could fix my pancreas and crummy diabetes. People really do not understand the difficulties of living with a lot of these diseases. But yes, another case of selective outrage.
Aww.
We got some truth going on. Truth lies shenanigans. Truth.
Cure cancer, cure AIDS.
I got truth. I'm calling truth.
Truth.
All right. These are great topics, man. This was some good conversations, people. Deep. All right, we got to have some fun, though. Got to get to have some fun. Let's go.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. All right, so today's game is 7-second challenge. We'll spin the wheel, and it'll give each of you a challenge to perform. You'll have 7 seconds to complete it correctly. If you don't in 7 seconds, you don't get a point. I'm sorry, if you do it in 7 seconds, you get a point. If you don't do it correctly or in time, or you can choose to refuse to do it, you get nothing. And I'm, of course, the judge. But the person with the most points wins. And the winner, it's the very final thought for the show. All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. We're going to start. We're going to start with Gianni Storm. We give Dr. T a little time to see how the game works. All right.
Okay.
All right.
That's fair.
All right. Gianni, you have 7 seconds to say 5 different Spanish names. 5 different Spanish names. Ready, set, go.
Jesus, Jose, Jorge, Pedro, Alejandro.
All right. Good job. Yes. We're giving you that one. All right. Good job. All right. 1 point for Gianni. All right, Robbie, you ready?
Yeah. Am I? I don't know.
This is great. Robbie, recite a poem about yourself.
Yes. An ode to Bert, how this makes my brain hurt. I wish that you could see a little bit more about me. I would love to share my life with my beautiful wife. The music makes me
happy.
Yes! Robbie!
Making rhymes snappy.
Oh, Robbie!
Yes, Rob!
Ooh, that was pretty good, buddy.
He's an artiste.
All right. Good job, Robbie.
Very good.
Definitely get a point for that one. All right, Dr. T, you're up. All right.
Sweet.
Oh, this is a good one. Recite any rap or song lyrics. Recite.
Ooh. Or song.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Y'all did this to me. Okay.
Ready? Go.
No. And I appreciate the rocks and gifts that you caught me, baby. And the house on the hill when you drop like 80 on a down payment.
Yes.
Life gravy. And ever since, from my honey, I've been twice the lady.
Yes.
Definitely. Definitely give that me that
great.
One.
All right.
Last round. We're going to see if we can spin it. If we can't. All right. We got to spin it. All right.
Yeah.
Gianni. Name 5 countries in Africa.
Oh, gosh.
Go.
Okay. Egypt, Nigeria, Ghana.
Gianni. You blew it.
Okay, sorry.
You blew it, Gianni.
An easy one was North and South again. That's a twofer.
All right.
There's so many.
There are, yes, there are.
All right.
Robbie.
All right.
Name any 5 currencies.
Ooh.
Starting now.
All right. The dollar, the pound, the lira, the rupee, the ruble, I've got it. So.
Yen.
Good job. You got 5. Good job. All right.
All right.
Dr. T, this is your opportunity to tie. Let's
see. Yeah, we did that.
Okay.
Oh, here, this is going to be fun.
Invent a new word
and define it. Invent a new word
okay.
and define it starting now.
Zhuzh.
Cartempolis corporate. Cartempolis corporate is when a corporate cartel, and when a cartel goes corporate and they have a marketing person and they write apology letters. Cartempolis
exactly.
corporate.
Oh my God. I'm giving that one.
Dr.
T. All right. Dr. T, with that one, you win the game.
Yay. Oh my goodness.
That was gold.
That was so much fun.
Well done.
I vow for that to be in the dictionary, or at least the urban dictionary.
Are you any shout outs, Dr. T?
Yes, I'd love to shout out my beautiful kids, and I love them, Jeremiah, Rob, and Kristen, and Christina, and I wanted to shout out myself. My new book just dropped, The Imposter Syndrome, Overcoming Imposter Syndrome. You can download it on Amazon. You can download it on Barnes & Noble and my website, www.RochelleMThompson.com. And last but not least, my clients. I love each and every one of you all. Y'all make me who I am. I appreciate y'all. Y'all are so brave. Y'all come to the space. I love my clients. I want to shout y'all out. Y'all are my everything.
I love that. I love that. Love shout out. Robbie?
I want to shout out my son, Zach, who celebrated his birthday earlier this week. He's a wonderful guy, and it was so nice to break bread with the family to celebrate him. And a shout out to the Boston Bruins for having a season and being first. Boo. For the first NHL team to clinch a playoff spot, buddy. So way to go, boys.
Boo. Okay.
Shout out to my two best friends who had a birthday yesterday, both ironically on the same day they have birthdays. But shout out to the Pisces gang. Yay! And she watches our show a lot, so I hope she was able to see that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
All right. And my shout out goes to the College Park City Council members, my home College Park. They've carried on after the, of course, the mayor's arrest. And we're actually going to have a couple of council members, sitting council members on this podcast. A couple of them are running for the now vacant seat.
Nice.
That includes the mayor, the mayor pro temp, Denise Mitchell. She already booked. She confirmed for the first week in April. So we're going to talk to her. And of course, we're going to talk to her about the former mayor. And so shout out to the council. Tough situation. So good job.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. That is officially all the time we have for today's show. I'd like to thank you guys for joining us. We hope you learned something, gained a new perspective, or had some laughs with us. We will be back recording our podcast live next week, as always, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll have to see when we can get the amazing Dr. T back on the show. Don't forget, check out our video clips. Subscribe to us on YouTube using tlsshow.com. And look for our official audio podcast episodes on Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to your podcast. And our winner for the final thought of the day, Dr. T, close us out. Close us out.
You know what? Each and every week you have the opportunity to sit at the seat of choice. You have the chance to sit at the seat of choice. That means whatever you want to do, you can do it. And I would venture to tell you to join us every Sunday on Truth, Lies, and Shenanigans, where I am a fan and I get to watch these beautiful individuals. And so I want you to make those choices each and every Sunday.
Oh, we love you. We love you. We're all day. Let me get some claps for that. Yay. All right. So thank you, Robbie Rock, Gianni, and our guest host, Dr. Rochelle Thompson. But most importantly, we need to thank you for listening to our shenanigans each and every week. Have a great one, guys. See ya.
Bye.